Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our second lesson, Book of Romans, chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, the other day, Ted Menold told me something he heard, and I think it's pretty insightful. The question was asked, how are you saved? And the answer to the question is, you are saved by works. Ask anybody. You are saved by works. You are just not saved by your works. Not saved by your works. Only Christians know that. You're not saved by your works. It's an old hymn that says much the same thing. Hymn number 565 in our hymn book. Thy works, not mine, O Christ, speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done. They bid my fear depart. To whom save thee, who can alone for sin atone? Lord, shall I flee? Well, on the same subject, I would ask you this morning, what is the center verse of the Bible? What is the center verse of the Bible? Now, you can answer that question numerically or mathematically. You can count up all the verses and find the one that's smack dab in the middle, and you can probably already guess where it is. There's three books in the Bible that everybody should be able to find. Genesis at the beginning, Revelation at the end, and Psalm smack dab in the middle. So it's going to be in the book of Psalms. Psalm 118, verse 8, center verse of the Bible. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. That's a good center verse of the Bible. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, which already tells you where we're going. It's already setting you on the right path. Not man, but the Lord. Not you, but the Lord. Saved by works, just not your works. It is better to take refuge in the Lord. Refuge. You might think of wildlife refuges where animals are safe. Everywhere else you hear the guns going off. But in the refuge, at least hopefully, no, they are safe. People of ancient times knew the same thing. They had their refuges. Their refuges were walled cities. And you could run there and hide there and be safe when the enemy army would come. It's reflected in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous people of God run into that tower and they are safe. And that's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to know where your refuge is. Because in the book of Romans chapter 7, you meet an enemy that is too powerful for you. Today's lesson is from Romans chapter 8 verse 1. But without chapter 7, 8 verse 1 doesn't make any sense. You don't know what to do with it. So let's read just a little excerpt from Romans chapter 7. It says, for we know, in other words, we all know this, it's true, we know that the law of God is spiritual, it's holy, it's righteous, good. But I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I know, once again, something we know, I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Romans chapter 7. St. Paul is very honest there. He bears his soul to the Roman Christians and to us 2,000 years later. He confesses his inability to conquer or to control this enemy that he has. He can't beat it. He says it's a law that's at work within him. It's like the law of gravity. It's always true. It's unavoidable. I do what I hate. I don't understand. Nothing good dwells in me. I can will the good thing, but I don't do it. I'm a prisoner of the law of sin. A prisoner of the law of sin. There's your problem. There's your enemy. And it's a body of death that leads me to eternal death. And so, at the end of Romans chapter 7, he calls out. And he says, who will rescue me? Who will rescue me? It's like in combat, a soldier calling out, medic, medic, who will rescue me? And then it says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Thy work's not mine, O Christ, speak gladness to this heart. They tell me all is done, they bid my fear depart. To whom save thee who can alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy wounds, not mine, O Christ, can heal my bruised soul. Thy stripes, not mine, contain the balm that makes me whole. To whom save thee who can alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy works, not mine. And that brings us to the passage in the Bible that is not the numerical center of the Bible, but together with John chapter 3, verse 16, is the theological center of the Bible. Today's lesson, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. In no way now is there condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Take it apart. In no way. Greek words, one word in Greek, oudes, in no way. And it's the first word, so it means it's the most important word. It begins the sentence. Bible dictionary says it is a powerful negating conjunction. Now, if you're left scratching your head with that, let's see what it says, what it means. It is something that shuts the door to what follows. It leaves no exceptions. It declares that no valid example exists. What follows is categorically excluded. We would say in English, in no way, shape, or form. And so let's go on to what follows. In no way, shape, or form, now, not in other some future time, but right now, not when you get your act together, but right now, because it's dependent on Christ, not on you, in no way now is there condemnation. In no way now is there condemnation. Katakrima, Greek word, punishment following a judgment. Problem is there is no judgment of God. Or maybe the solution is there is no judgment of God based on what you did or didn't you do or your performance in one way or another. Now that is a hard thing to hear. Matter of fact, it's impossible to hear because you don't have any experience to draw on. It doesn't come out of your experience as a human being in this world. Your heart doesn't tell you this either. As a human being in this world, you know the commandments of God. You got brought up with them in one form or another. You know it by experience. You know it innately. Go ahead and read books that come out of Judaism or come out of Islam. Read books that come out of Buddhism. Read things that come out of ancient Egypt or out of ancient Babylon, out of ancient China. You will read these things and you'll find over and over again, I thought I heard that before. Oh yeah, that was in this other one. And that over there was in this one. And you find after a while that human beings, when it comes to ethics or morality, that sort of thing, all start talking the same way. They talk the same way. They say the same things wherever you go. Now understand that talking ain't doing, but they all talk the same way. You know that from experience. Why? Because there's something written on the human heart. It makes everybody think alike. Now you say, well, all religions are the same then. No, they're not. We're not talking about religions. We're talking about human ideas about what's right and wrong. Morality. And of course, you need these things. You need them in childhood. Book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 15. No child likes this verse. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far away from him. You need these things. But if you try to hold them before God, you try to bring them to the Lord God, if the good Lord is waiting for your performance, how long is he going to have to wait? How long does he have to wait? Forever and a day. Book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. As many as are of the works of the law, keeping the commandments of God, trying to do that to be right with God, they're under a curse. You don't do it. Saying ain't doing. Passing legislation isn't the same as enforcing it. And this is where human religions fail. They can diagnose the problem, and sometimes they do very insightfully, but they can't offer you any solution. They don't offer you any resolution, because their solution or their resolution is either one of two things. Either they diminish the nature of sin and they say, sin, yeah, you know what people are like. You know what people do. You know how things are. Or they say, keep the commandments, keep the commandments, keep the commandments. And they harp and harp and harp upon the commandments because there's a background idea, which is totally false, but a background idea that there is human ability to deal with the problem of sin. If you just try hard enough, you go to church enough, you put enough money in the plate, you do whatever you're supposed to do, you're going to be able to deal with the problem of sin. And the problem is, have you? Or are we still waiting? Are we still waiting? And that's why Jesus had to come. That's why he had to come, because of sin, yes. But because you and I couldn't do anything about it. Only he could be the Savior. And he performed the performance. He paid for your lack of performance. And now God the Father's face toward you is not one of wrath and anger, because he expended all that on his Son. His face toward you is one of mercy and forgiveness and pardon. Romans 8, verse 1. Let's take the whole verse. Now, in no way, now, this time, is there condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Only in Christ Jesus. That's the key words there. And the point being that where performance comes into the picture, Christ Jesus has to leave. He says, oh, you're going to do it? You're going to take care of it? Okay, I'm out of here. Go ahead. Let's see how long it takes. What are you going to do? And when finally the watch battery wears out, then what? Maybe we need something else. For what the law of God, today's lesson, was unable to do, and that it was weak on account of the flesh, your flesh is the weak link in the chain, that's you, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and concerning sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. The law was too weak to do it. You were the weak link in the chain. Only the grace of God could cover you and do what the law of God could never do. And it happened because God did not judge your sin in you, but he judged your sin in his Son, on his Son, together with his Son carrying it, in order that the righteous demand of the law should be fulfilled in us. Where performance comes into the picture, Jesus has to leave. Where Jesus comes into the picture, performance has to leave. It has to go. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ became a curse for us in order that the righteous demand of God's law should be fulfilled in us. The righteous ordinances and demands of God's law are fulfilled in us because they were fulfilled by Christ for us. And so back to the beginning. How are you saved? How are you saved? You can say it categorically. Everybody knows it. You're saved by works. Everybody knows that. You're just not saved by your works. You're just not saved by your works, and only Christians know that. Thy cross, not mine, O Christ, has borne the crushing load of sins that none could bear but the incarnate God, to whom save thee can I alone for sin, or who alone for sin alone, Lord, shall I flee? Thy death, not mine, O Christ, has paid the ransom due. 10,000 deaths like mine would have been all too few. To whom save thee, who can alone for sin atone, Lord, shall I flee? The law was unable to do it because it was weak on account of the flesh. God sent his Son into the world to condemn sin in the sinful flesh in order that the righteous demand of the law should be fulfilled in us. You're saved by his works and his works alone. And so, thy righteousness, O Christ, alone can cover me. No righteousness avails save that which is of thee. To whom save thee, who can alone for sin atone? Lord, shall I flee? And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.